Today on the podcast, we have an interview with the amazing Ingrid Vicious. Hi, welcome to Happy Healthy Human Radio. I'm your host, Samantha Attard, coming at you from the beautiful Washington, D.C. I'm an Ayurvedic coach, yoga instructor, and doula that's sharing with you all the things I'm learning about and teaching about in my everyday so we can all find just a little more balance, bliss, and confidence. Thank you so, so much for being a part of this community. And if you do enjoy this podcast, please do subscribe, rate, leave a review on iTunes, and of course, share with a friend. Thank you so, so much for listening. A couple of cool announcements before we get into our interview with Ingrid. First off, I have a workshop coming up this Sunday over at Spark Yoga. It's all about balancing your chakras. And the chakras, if you're not aware, they are these seven energy centers throughout the body. And they're really powerful for understanding your mind-body connection. I find it so, so useful as a tool for my meditation practice, as a tool for understanding my emotions, my feelings as they arise. And it is really powerful when you understand how these energies are working through your body. So if you're interested in strengthening up that mind-body connection, head on over to sparkyoga.com to register for our workshop on Sunday, February 10th. If you can't make it in person, head over to my website. If you go over to the store, it's shop.behappyhealthyhuman.com. You can get my chakra balancing meditation program. It is amazing. There's a set of 8 meditations as well as an 11-page PDF that will give you the huge intro to the chakras, why they're important, and then with those meditations, you can work on balancing them. Super, super amazing. Last note, for today is that starting March 2nd, I'm going to start hosting yoga classes over at the Teal Center in Ballston. So I'm going to have 2 Saturday morning classes, a 9 a.m. yoga basics, and then 10:30 integrative vinyasa. So this idea being for our yoga basics, obviously we move a little slower. If you are super new to yoga, you won't feel super overwhelmed. It's going to be a really welcoming, wonderful environment to get started on your yoga journey or just to move at a slightly slower pace. And then in our integrative vinyasa class, we have 90 minutes. It's gonna feel luxurious and fabulous. We are going to move and sweat and breathe, and it's gonna feel awesome. So highly, highly recommend checking that out. I'm really excited that this is gonna get started. Again, you can head over to my website to get the yoga schedule and to register. If you have questions, send me a note. I'm over at sam@behappyhealthyhuman.com. So as I mentioned today, we are talking with Ingrid Vicious. I love Ingrid dearly. She's a very good friend and wellness coach that lives here in the Arlington area. We first got connected about 2 years ago and have been chatting and working together ever since. We have done workshops together. We actually have a course together, a 4-week stress cleanse. And she's just a beautiful breath of fresh air, a beautiful soul, so knowledgeable. Like, you know, when we were in our workshop together and she was talking about explaining the answer to something. And I'm just like staring at her like, can I take notes? Because girl, you've got so much knowledge. So I'm really excited to be talking with her today. Ingrid is a certified bilingual wellness expert. She speaks English and Spanish. She's a health coach and speaker. She regularly advises women in public service and leadership positions, helping them make health and wellness a priority so that they can be effective and successful leaders. She is known for her practical and honest style. I can give you that. Ingrid helps her clients avoid burnout and find easy and realistic ways to take care of themselves so that they have the stamina necessary for lasting impact. She's worked with Arlington County Government, the Urban Land Institute, Sweetgreen, the VA Women's Business Conference, National Association of Professional Women, and more. Ingrid has studied health and wellness in various modalities for 15 years, including for studies at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition in New York. She grew up in Bogota, Colombia, and got her bachelor's and master's degree from American University. She lives in Arlington, Virginia with her husband, and she's also the owner of Baked by Ingrid, which is a vegan, gluten-free, and refined sugar-free cookie company. These cookies are absolutely delicious, by the way, so definitely check out Baked. It's called B-A-K-T. That's how you spell Baked. You can find her at ingridvicious.com. That is V-A-I-C-I-U-S. And her Instagram is Ingrid_wellness. Super excited for this conversation. Hope you get lots out of it and look forward to our conversation.
There. Hello, Ingrid.
How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good,
Good.
good.
Welcome to Happy Healthy Human Radio.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Sometimes I wish that we had like an actual physical like representation of it. I mean, we're just talking over the phone, but I feel like it would be so wonderful if someone was like passing around trays of grapes or something like that right now.
I know, yeah,
So
definitely.
I just like imagine like this beautiful oasis of leisure.
I know.
Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for coming onto this podcast for this interview. I mentioned it already in the intro, but like I respect you and your work so much. I respect your knowledge so much, and as always, like I respect how down to earth you are about things, and actually relate to something that you were just talking with me about, of that you don't kind of you're not like Ingrid, the wellness coach that like will come and like save your life and has everything perfect and figured out. It's everything you talk about is very practical and very doable and very just honest. And I so appreciate that about you, because it's really nice to see that like, oh no, Ingrid's a real human. Like she's got some really great knowledge. She knows how to take care of herself really well, and like she's still a real human. So thank you for bringing that to this wellness space, because I think it's very important.
Oh, thank you. I so appreciate hearing that because I do feel like sometimes we tend to get a little up in our heads and thinking about wellness, about it's like this unattainable, like really difficult thing. And I feel like most of the time it's just figuring out where we're at and what we need to do to, which shouldn't be that complicated, but sometimes we just need that little extra nudge and push in the right direction.
It's such a good point. It's such a good point. So, to get started, we're going to cover lots of different topics today, but I would love to just learn a little bit more about your path to, let's talk about a little bit about your path to wellness coaching, because I think your path to wellness coaching also relates to your path to just in general wellness and thinking about wellness. So if you kind of want to meld the personal as well as the businessy aspect of that,
Definitely.
I would love to hear about that.
Definitely. So I came to wellness kind of like in an obtuse way, I would say. I've always been interested in like being in the kitchen and making things healthier, but I had a career in foreign policy, human rights work for 18 years. I went to college and I was like, I'm going to do foreign policy work for the rest of my life. And right out of college, I graduated and got like what was my dream job at that point. I was working at a nonprofit doing human rights work. I'm originally from Colombia, so we were doing US Colombia policy. I was doing US Cuba. Great. I was traveling a lot. I was doing what I wanted to do. But after 8 years of doing the work, it was a lot. I mean, doing human rights work and US foreign policy work is, it can take a toll. And I was ready also for like a shift. I needed something different. I needed to stop traveling so much for work. I love to travel, but anyone who has traveled for work knows that it's very different than traveling for pleasure. And I was ready for a change. From there, I hopped on to local government work. I did communications work for Arlington County, and anyone who's not familiar with it, it's the county right outside of Washington, D.C., basically across the bridge. I was hired to do bilingual communication, and then the job evolved, and I ended up doing emergency management. So I was doing all of these things that were interesting, and I've always been a learner. So I found it fascinating, and I know that you can always learn something new, and I was fascinated by it. But again, after 8 years doing that, I kind of had this moment where I was one, not feeling great and couldn't quite figure out what it was. I mean, progressively, I was just feeling crummier and crummier, and I still thought that I was doing everything right in terms of like the food that was e I was eating, the exercise that I was doing. But yet, like I was starting to get more migraines, which I had a long time. I wasn't sleeping great. Overall, I was just not feeling fantastic. And so it collided with like this moment where I was like, okay, what am I doing? I like the people who I work with. I love them. I still talk to all of them, but it was just that moment where I was like, this is not
what I see myself doing for the rest of my life. So that opened the door for a big conversation around, well, what is it that I do see myself doing the rest of my life? And I realized that the one thing that always kept me interested and engaged, and if you looked at like the books that I had on my bookshelf, were all around like health and wellness and how do you make it attainable and how do you make it easier for yourself. And yet I was like, sure, I was eating really well and I was like exercising, but the big part of my life that was missing was that stress management, and realizing that if you're not completely content and happy with what you're doing and you're not taking the steps necessary to reduce your stress load, then it really doesn't matter how well you're eating or how much exercise you're doing or not. You're still not going to feel great. And that led me to the wellness path.
That's interesting. And just wait, if I can clarify just on that last piece, because I think you're saying something really important. Yeah. Kind of said, mm-hmm. doesn't matter how much exercise or nutrition you're doing, if you're not feeling, was the word you used, like not feeling that contentment with your work, or if you were yeah. feeling.
If you're not content with your, like, to me, it was like, it wasn't that I dreaded going to work, but it wasn't fulfilling. It wasn't like lighting me up. And I was also super stressed because even though the work was interesting, doing emergency management work in the area of communication means that you're on. And so even though we had a system going and there were things in place so that it was obviously not only me, I had like amazing people that were also worked with me, it still was a lot of responsibility. And I'm not one of those like verbal, like if I'm stressed, I just like take it all in. And like, I wasn't dealing with my stress in a way that was helpful for me.
Got it.
So that all came to a head. I feel like it's just realizing that health and wellness is so much more than what you eat and how much you exercise. There's so many other layers to it that are so, so
important. That's such a great point, because it's so, you're right, it's easy. And I feel like so many clients come to me like this, maybe they come to you with the same thing of saying, well, I just have to eat less or work out harder. If I do this with the food, or if I do this with, and it, you know, and it's funny, I'm like, okay, well, let's talk about food, and we can talk about food, but very quickly it devolves into a lot of work stress, communication stress, and and the reactions to the world around us, because you know, it's more than just about calories and specifically weight management, because also, as you know, if your hormones are messed up, which they can get messed up from stress and not sleeping right, then your calories aren't helping you out anyway. So I think that's really huge. And would you say that there was a biggest either experience or decision that was like, okay, time to move on, or okay, it's wellness time? Just curious if.
I mean, I think that it just came to a head when I remember the moment where we were on vacation in Mexico, and I was like, I just can't keep doing this. I'm on vacation and I feel everything's taken care of, but I'm not happy like with what I'm doing. It doesn't light me up. And I feel like life is so much about being happy with what you do and being excited about doing it, right? So sure, I loved everybody who I worked with, but the job wasn't getting me super excited in the morning. And it was time for a change, on top of the fact that I was really like ignoring how crappy I was feeling. Like truthfully, I just like didn't, I mean, I knew I wasn't feeling great and I knew I wasn't sleeping great. And like the migraines kept popping up, and I got shingles. There were all these small things, not small, but like things that were happening that I kind of was like, well, this is weird, but I'm like, I'll just chalk it up to like, whatever it is, it happens. But the truth is, it was like my body saying, hello, listen to me, something needs to change. And if it doesn't, you're just not going to thrive, and you're not going to be living the life that you want to live, right? Because I was just, I mean, I hadn't had migraines for decades, and then they just popped up again, like out of the blue. And it wasn't like once every so often. It was like, it became a weekly or like twice a month thing, and it would knock me out. And then it was like, I got shingles, and then I wasn't sleeping. I'm like, okay, this is just not normal and not good. And thankfully, I was in a very fortunate situation where I was able to kind of leave that job and take time off. And at that point, I had that like really big realization that this is what burnout is. And this is how it happened to me, right? And this is how it manifested for mm-hmm. me. But I was so like the moment I left that job and I was able to kind of relax, it was like my body was like, oh, finally. And then it just went into full on burnout exhaustion.
Wow.
So I was fortunate enough to be able to kind of take some time off, figure out what I wanted to do, enroll in school, look at what I want, how I wanted to contribute and what I really enjoyed and what my passion was. And that's how, like, the very long story about how I ended up doing health and wellness yeah. coaching for women in
leadership. And I'd actually be curious to know about your crawl out of burnout, because I think a lot of people experience mm-hmm. burnout and not a lot of people know mm-hmm. what leaving burnout feels like. So when you just, you know, this burnout, and obviously, like you said, you were able to take some time off of work. And so you had to save a little more time, but what did your day look like, or what were the really important things that helped you start to heal? Like, was it like you were laying in bed for 8 hours a day, or was it vacation? Yeah. You know, like what were they looking like for you?
Oof. Like in hindsight, now that I look at it and I'm able to look at like, oh my gosh, like how much has my life changed in these 3 years? And I was very resistant, but realizing that you really, I mean, it sounds out there, but you really have to honor your body and like not go against it. And so I thought, okay, so I don't feel great. Like, and I feel like burnout manifests very differently for everyone, of course, but it does have like these characteristics, right? If like illnesses that you used to have and you had dealt with start popping up again. So for me, it was migraines, or like you're not sleeping well, you're getting sick really often, you're more anxious than usual. Like it just what seems like isolated symptoms, then when you look at it like all together, you're like, ooh, yeah, that was not good. And so what it looked like for me was just like, okay, realizing what my baseline was, how crappy I was feeling. And initially I thought, okay, I'm going to be able to like deal with this in like a month. It'll be fine. But the truth of the matter is that it wasn't like a linear, like, okay, I was like down here and now, and then in the month I was up there and everything was fine. I think it's been like this like non-linear process where the baseline of like my worst has definitely improved and I'm like in a great place right now. But I do think that it was like this horrible exhaustion, recognizing that, you know what, I need to be okay with not feeling great. And that doesn't mean that, one, I can't help other people. If anything, I think I've come to the realization that my experience actually gives me this greater level of understanding for when people are like, I have this and this and this. And I'm like, well, it could be this, or have you looked at it like this? And just like being more forgiving of myself, right? And realizing that, yes, I'm in health and wellness, but I'm human and I can get sick and I still get sick. And we were having this conversation earlier on. I think that one of the things that strikes me the most sometimes is when you're talking to people and you happen to have a cold or you happen to get sick, they're like, oh, you get sick? And I'm like, yes, yeah, we all get sick and that's fine. But it also is like that bigger conversation of what we put out into the world and what we the message we're sending, right? If it all looks perfect, then it all like looks like we're always like healthy and happy and we're not struggling, then that's what people get, right? When in reality, wellness is really not all about feeling great all the time, because nobody feels great all the time. It's just about having the ability to know where you're at and what you need to do, what tools you need to put into place so that you can get back to that point of feeling
great.
Wow. Right?
No, I love that so much. And I love that you said that some of what you had to do was recognize just that it was okay that you don't feel great, because I think another thing that happens a lot is we get so obsessed with the fact that we don't feel great that we stress mm-hmm. ourselves out. Like, right? Like, I mean, yes. a situation mm-hmm. where you're sick and you spend 45 minutes on Google trying to figure out what it is, mm-hmm. or I've been at that place where I spend $60 at Whole Foods buying every known remedy. Like, you know, I've like that carrots mm-hmm. and beets and blank will like fix whatever yeah. is happening. But I think that's really important recognition of like, okay, I have lower energy today. And that's okay. I mean, this is a big thing I end up talking to clients a lot about, and I want to talk more about period, about that, like, for women, you know, and or people that have a period, like, you know, all 30 days of the month or 31 days of the month are not going to feel exactly the same. And if we all like recognize the fact that actually feeling not pain, but feeling lower energy, you know, 2 or 3 days out of the month, you know, during your period, like that's normal. And that doesn't mean you're broken, and that doesn't mean you're wrong. Like that's just the natural and flow of life. And so I really appreciate that you said that part of what helped you feel better was recognizing like that it's okay to not feel great. So that's amazing.
One of the things that I struggled the most with when I was kind of like in the worst and the thick of it, where it was like burnout and like my body was just not happy, everything about it, was out of whack, like my hormones, my thyroid, like everything was just like messed up and I was not sleeping. I think the hardest thing for me was that, but horrible insomnia that I got, right? And it was so traumatic that now I find myself whenever I have like 1 or 2 nights of like bad sleep, I start having like these, like, I think it's almost, I don't want to like minimize post-traumatic stress disorder, but it does feel like this level of anxiety where it's like, I cannot go through this again. Like this cannot happen because it was bad. I mean, I would go to bed and it was just like, I could not settle down and sleep, and it would happen for weeks. So I was like this walking zombie feeling horrible. And then like two nights ago, I guess I had two bad nights in a row. And like the old me would have been like flipping out, which of course, duh, not helpful at all. Like, right? If I'm psyching myself up being like, oh my God, is this going to happen again? Like, what is happening? What am I doing wrong? What do I need to change? This can't be happening. Like that would have been the old thought process that I had. Whereas like now I'm much more like, okay, what is going on? Like, what can I do? And like, what have I been doing differently? And then that's when you realize what behaviors kind of have started to slip or what's going on. And for me, it's like, sometimes I'm not great about leaving my phone in the kitchen counter and like looking at it at all like later at night. And that definitely impacts my sleep. So it's more of a like being just more mindful about what it is that I'm doing and what is going before freaking out, before going on to Google or like flipping out that this is what's going to happen again. It's like being able to kind of take a step back, take a deep breath and look at like, okay, what has changed? Like, am I PMSing? Am I about to get my period? That sometimes interferes with my sleep. Or did I eat a heavier meal? I mean, there's all these things that like you can go through in your head. Am I looking at my phone? What was I watching on TV? All of these things, right? That I can look at and be like, oh, okay, I'll change it. And then it's only one night, right? Giving myself like that perspective of being, it's like, it's one night of bad sleep. That's just not going to undo everything. It's not going to send my hormones spiraling. I'm not going to get sick again. So I feel like the immediate instinct for almost all of us is to think of like that worst case scenario. And the tools that I have now, it's like more of a, okay, I'm going to take a step back and like kind of like look at my life from the outside and be like, okay, what can I change? And lo and behold, I did that last night. And I'm like, oh, I slept wonderfully.
It is so fascinating. And I think it is a balance, right? Because obviously you can also drive yourself crazy with trying to like perfect everything. And that's never a good place to be. Exactly. But on the other hand, I think we have a lot more control than we sometimes give ourselves credit for. Like, I remember I was having a lot of hormonal imbalances through my early 20s. And like for years and years, I was like, not going to give up coffee, though. I'm not going to give up coffee, though. And finally, I was like, you know what? It's time. Right? Like, like I'm sitting here and I've read the studies. I know like what's happening and I know that this isn't helping me, but I've still been doing it anyway. And I actually do have something that's left. And so same deal. If you're like, I haven't been sleeping. Well, are you still Instagramming for 30 minutes in bed? Like that could have an impact. Are you doing work emails before you sleep? I know you feel like it's just this tiny thing that couldn't possibly be messing it up, but it is. And so I really love that. I would love to know what your linchpin is. And here's what I mean. Linchpin, I mean the one thing you need to really have dialed in to feel great in your day. So for example, for me, it's breakfast. Like if I eat like a good breakfast at a normal time, I'm in way better shape than anything else, you know. And for my husband, it's sleep. He needs to get his 7 or 8 hours of sleep, and then he's good. And we're the opposite. I can have a crappy night's sleep, but have a good breakfast and be okay. He could, you know, have great sleep, bad breakfast, be okay. So like, do you have something like that where you're like, this is the thing that really will help me feel good in a day?
Oh my God. I'm with my husband. I need sleep. Okay. Which was why insomnia was like so, so like traumatic for me. I need my sleep. And so I will do anything and everything to like optimize that. Like if I have a good night's sleep, I can like, I will do anything. I can like be presented with like less than ideal food options, like skip a workout, not drink enough water. But if I'm not sleeping, it's like, I can't focus. Like just the world does, like it looks foggy and it feels
so funny.
So that's definitely.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. And I just, I love that question. The reason why I ask it is because I think it's really important for us to identify what that thing is. I wouldn't say get militant about it, but get, like you said, get a little more like really like that's the thing that gets dialed in, because you know other stuff can fall and that one can't. Do you have any favorite routines? Are you like a super morning routine, like it always looks the same kind of person? Or maybe for you, maybe it's more about your evening routine. Maybe you could share what you do before you go to bed, because since sleep is so important to you.
Okay, so I'm definitely, I have routines, and I feel like they change depending on, I don't know, the time of year and all sorts of things, but definitely sleep is like the big one. So I have two things that are super important. Like definitely, like I have gotten in the habit for both my husband and I, no phones in the bedroom. Like no phones in the bedroom and no phones like at least an hour before bed. So no screen time. And that has been life-changing. I notice it. I mean, the second that I like slip a little bit or like start looking at my phone like at in bed, like if I'm watching TV and then like I kind of, it's early on, so I just leave the phone next to me and I start the Instagram scroll or like the Twitter scroll, it just sucks you in, right? Before you know it, it's 10 o'clock at night and I'm like, oh my God, like not good. And I notice it. So those two things are super important. Also, anyone who comes visits my house and stays over knows that it's very cold in my house at night. Because I do keep the temperature like super low at night, because it definitely makes me sleep better. So those three things, and then if we add one more, it's like we have a diffuser in the bedroom, and I definitely put like relaxing essential oils.
Oh, nice!
There.
Do you have one that you do?
I do. We have lavender for sure, with cedar wood. And sometimes I'll add lemongrass. It's super
nice. I love that. I've been scared of doing like lemongrass or anything kind of citrusy at night. So scared that it would be too like wakey, like in the light, but you like it.
No. Yeah, I like it. And I would say like the diffuser is like that one step up, right? If that doesn't happen, I'm cool.
Right.
Like, it's fine. But like the screen time, the no phones and the low, like the cooler temperature in the house is definitely, those three things are like, if those things, three things are done, then I'm so good, routine-wise. So and then in bed by, like, no later than 10, 10:30.
I think that is an important one, too. I think it's so fascinating, you know, of actually honoring. That's been a big one for me, of honoring when I feel tired. Like, if I feel really, really tired at 8:30, I shouldn't just, like, push through it. Like, I can go relax or read in bed or something like that for a little bit of time. Rather than saying pushing through it and then never getting tired again. I want to ask a potentially like dumb slash obvious question, but I think it's still like a really important one. If you have no, like with that hour of no screen time before bed, what do you do? What do you do with yourself?
Oh my gosh. I've been reading a lot. Definitely. I mean, that's definitely the thing. Or I will look at a magazine, or like I have this thing for like cookbooks, so rather than sit in front of my computer and look through recipes on like Google, like I'm all about like looking through recipes on cookbooks and inspiration. And I have like my other business is a vegan, gluten-free, refined sugar-free cookie company, so I'm always trying to think of like different recipes. So I look for inspiration in cookbooks. So I do spend a lot of time like really like looking at cookbooks or reading magazines or even good books. It just, and an hour goes by so quickly. And then my husband and I love to play Rumi. I know.
No, wait, what is it?
But we'll do that every so often.
What is it? What's it?
Rumi?
Have no. You played Rumi?
It's like this board game. It's awesome. Oh. It's like about, it's like numbers. And I mean, I love it.
Awesome. No, I love that though. And I just really wanted to ask because it is a funny thing. We get so used to filling up all of our free time with screens, right? Like you stand in line and you use your screens. And so it's like, wait, I'm willingly going to put it down. What will I choose to do? So I really love that. So lots of reading, cookbooks, great idea. Spend some time. And I love especially having like even little projects to do, you know, with my husband and I, to like looking through a cookbook and like just picking out recipes we're excited about or something like that. And then a board game. I love that. Is there a habit you've dropped in the last year that's made the biggest difference in your life? Maybe last year, last 2 years. Is there anything like really big that comes to mind that you're like, I got to be done like this? Like for my example, like coffee would have been a huge one for me. Huge.
I was a big coffee drinker too. Like, and I dropped that one for hormonal too, and like my migraine. So like that, but that was like a long, that one I dropped a long, long time ago, and it was hard because I was addicted. I mean, I would open my eyes in the morning and the first thing that I would want was like coffee. Like that was what I wanted. Like there was no, don't talk to me, give me my coffee. And then I had a function, which on a whole level for me was like, well, that's a little
disturbing.
When you can't do anything, like when you can't think or you can't move, like think properly until you.
Well, and it's kind of amazing. I was just going to say, and it's just amazing because obviously you do function now without your coffee. So also like that fear that we also had or that feeling, it's not real, right? Like we actually can't function without it, but
Exactly. Exactly. So I weaned myself off of it. And it was like, I didn't do cold turkey. A lot of people that I know do a cold turkey. I was like, no, I can't do that. Especially because if I went cold turkey, my migraines would be really bad because of the caffeine withdrawal. So I just eased myself out of it. And now I do enjoy, like, when I travel, I'm a little more flexible because I do love it and I do enjoy it. So I'm not militant about it, but I definitely don't need it. And so now I really do enjoy it. And when I have it, it's just like this really pleasurable, like pleasant experience. And it makes me think of a
That's sweet.
It's really nice. I mean, I really enjoy it because I do love it. But now I like really do appreciate it so much more than when it was like this thing I had to have. Now it's like this thing that I really enjoy and I really love and makes me think of
so. I really love that. I love that. I would like to ask, when do you feel most successful?
Oof, when I'm like, it's just, I feel like every day is different, right? When you have your own business and you know this too. But I do feel like when I make people realize that health and wellness is not this really unattainable goal, when I'm working with clients and they're able to figure out what works for them, right? It's not about what I do and what works for me, but giving you the tools to like figure it out on your own. And they have these aha moments where they're like, oh my gosh, how much has it changed? How much has my life changed? And all I've really done is hone in into what I need, whether it's making sure that I'm drinking water or making sure that I'm getting enough sleep or just giving myself like 5 minutes between leaving the car and coming into my house so that I can disconnect from my work day and like be able to be present with my family. I think that's when I feel super successful, when I give people the tools like just to empower themselves to make the changes that they need to feel great and just guide them through.
That's beautiful. That is very cool. And if you did have, I always love this question from Tim Ferriss, like if you had a billboard that could reach all the listeners, like a lesson that could reach all humans, like in the, you know, the most trafficked intersection.
Yeah.
And it's just one of your lessons, like what, like the lesson you wish the world would know that's had a really big impact potentially in your life, what would that be? Hopefully like a short.
Go back. It would be go back to basics.
Go back to basics.
Yep. I feel like whenever we get in our head, whenever something's not going right, we tend to go like, we just look at like this big picture and we get all wrapped up in the story. And then the truth is like, what do we need to do? Like back to basics. Do I need to be making sure that I'm drinking water? Am I sleeping? Like, am I eating good food? What am I doing for myself that makes me feel good? And that really means just go back to the basics. Ask yourself the basic questions. If the answer is no to any of them, then fix that. Make the small change to fix that.
I love that. I know. It's so amazing. Like, if you're in a bad mood, ask yourself first if you've eaten in the last 5 hours, if you slept yes. okay, like, because maybe, you know, maybe yep. there's not actually a huge emotional problem happening. Maybe your brain's just a little fried. I love that. And then because we also want to celebrate, I mean, your message and also other people's messages and people that are doing amazing things in the world. I'm curious if there's anyone who's work you would want to celebrate, whether this is a specific person or a charity or a company, that you just feel like these people are doing amazing things for the world and you just really appreciate their work.
Okay. Oh my gosh. That's like such a big question because I feel like there's so many amazing people doing great work. But I would have to say if I have one's an organization, and I think it's Community Food Works. They're an organization based in DC that runs farmers markets, but they're also very much into like food accessibility, so making sure that people who don't have access to fresh food get access to it. I just think that having access to fresh healthy food is just such an important part of like just living your best life, and everybody should have access to that, right? And it shouldn't be prohibitively expensive, especially if it's like fruits and vegetables. And they're just doing such amazing work around that. And then a person, I just have a dear friend who does amazing work. Her name's Jolene, and she is a high performance coach right now, but she does such amazing work with the anti-slavery movement, which I think is just
amazing. Oh, wow. So Jolene, what's her last name or how to?
Jolene Smith. Yeah. Jolene Smith. And you can look her. Yeah. You can look her up on just with her name. She pops up. She's doing amazing work.
That is super cool.
Yeah.
So I've already mentioned in our intro, but I'll mention it again. Ingrid and I have amazing, beautiful little course together. It's called the 4-week stress cleanse, and it is 4 weeks to go through sleep and diet and meditation, mindfulness and movement, and looking at how these four major areas of your life can help you reduce the burden of stress in your life. And very similar to what Ingrid was talking about earlier, of kind of get rid of all of those random things in your life, those random illnesses that are popping up, the random allergies and migraines and headaches and gut issues and skin issues, and really helping you reduce those through the lens of stress. So we highly recommend that program because it's really amazing. You can do it all at your own pace. It's on the computer. Mm-hmm. There are all videos online, and you can find that. I'll put it in the show notes, but it's a stress detox is how it's listed online via Teachable. Mm-hmm. So send us a message if you're interested in that.
It's amazing. I mean, I feel like it gives you the tools to realize, one, what you're doing well already, because it's mostly like sometimes we're so hard on ourselves, and then when you go through it, you're like, oh, okay, so I'm in a better place. My baseline is not as bad as I thought it was. And then what can I do to change it? And I think this course just gives people those tools in a way that's easy and doable and approachable and not like a million to-do lists. Just focused worksheets that just help you figure out where you're at and where you need to go and what you need to do.
It's beautiful. And again, like Ingrid mentioned, she has an amazing cookie company called Baked, B-A-K-T. And it's vegan, free, refined, sugar free. They're delicious and amazing, and you can buy them online, and they're fabulous. Do you have a specific URL for that? What website should they go to?
Yes, it's just www.bakedbyingrid.com, and it's B-A-K-T, like
Baked
you said.
Bakedbyingrid.com. Beautiful. And let's see. And then her website, ingridvicius.com, V-A-I-C-I-U-S. Is there anything else you want to let people know about? Anything else that's coming up or that you're super excited about or resources you want to point people towards?
Yeah. Oh no, definitely. I mean, I'm excited about like just the stress cleanse, and definitely I'm in the process of doing a beta test for a 5 week kind of women in leadership, how health and wellness and leadership is so important. I'll be beta testing that soon, and I'll be looking for women in leadership positions who are stressed out, who might be feeling a little bit burned out or not feeling great and are not sure if it's burnout or normal. And then the goal is to give them the tools they need to kind of figure out, am I burnt out? And then what can I do to prevent it? Because I really do want women who are in amazing positions doing amazing things for the world to keep doing it, right? And avoid what I went through, where I was like, this was not fun.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a very, very good goal. So if people are interested in that, should they reach out to you on Instagram perhaps or on your website?
Yes, perfect. Yeah, Instagram is perfect. That's the easiest. It's Ingrid_wellness. I'm there fairly frequently, just not in the
Yeah.
clinic. But yeah, send me a message on Instagram.
Oh, Ingrid, thank you so much for having this conversation, and for sharing all that you do with the world.
Oh no, thank you for having me. It's always so nice to chat with you. It's such a treat because I feel like we get like such little goodness nuggets
It's
out
really
of this.
fabulous. It really is. So I will talk to you very soon. Have a fabulous day.
Cool. You
Bye,
too.
darling.
Bye-bye.